Get with it today or else. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to chapter 9 in the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you will recall, I used this text and a part of this outline during the World Series last fall after we got here. But we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction today than we did then. We'll use the same text. We will try to convey a message that you understand and that you believe in. And we'll use, beginning with verse 19 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this text. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without the word of God, not being without the law toward God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those outlaws. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, but so I do, and I might save some. Now then, he goes into what we want to use as a text today. And he asks is, do you not know that those who run in a race, everyone runs, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain the prize, it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we, as we will refer to a little later on, we do it. That is, we temper, we work, we discipline our walk in Christ Jesus that we might win an imperishable crown. Let me give you a parallel. I took the basketball coaches from Indiana Tech University down home to my home school. We did a tryout camp down there, back about 2002 or 2003. And I was showing them the old gym that I played basketball in. Now, I do not want to leave you any impression of any kind that I was any good at basketball. All I knew was that on each side of the court, we had a post sitting out on the court about that far. And if I could get an old boy trailing me just right, and I could learn to go around that post with a dribble and let him just run into that post. That old post had a lot of scars. And while we were there, we were just looking around and out of the trophy case, which was empty because they now have a much nicer gymnasium and a really, really super one of those, you know, built-in trophy cases all the way across the front. But up on top, there was a little trophy. And so I got a stepladder and took it out, and lo and behold, Coach Red had not given me my All-State baseball trophy. Oh, it's tarnished and it's old. We do it to win an incorruptible. Now that thing, I wanted it, to be honest with you. In fact, Buster Campbell now is the coach there, and I begged him, let me have it. No, we're going to put it over. I'm going to go back there someday and see if it's in that new trophy case. Boy, it would make it look uglier, I'm telling you. But anyway, we do it to win an incorruptible crown. And somebody help me, where'd I get to? And everyone, verse 25, who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable, but we for an imperishable. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. And I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, at least when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit will use the precious, precious Word of God and what ability I have to communicate to everyone here. Some have never gotten a race. Some have entered the race and are being pretty sluggish and slackers. Some are out there sweating, huffing, puffing, working, because they know that the day will come when it will be worth it all. So guide my thinking and the presentation of this word, that it might accomplish what you know needs to be accomplished in this assembly here today. And may we go, as someone has already said, from here saying, oh, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We pray in the name that indeed is above every name, and a name which opens the door to you, the name Jesus. Amen. I referred to that tarnished old trophy the other day in the mail. I received two bats. Now, the reason I know these were mine, and a teammate in high school, I don't know how Wilb got them, but he died, and when they read his whatever you do when you read that will, you know, he had notes that these two bats, this one and the other one that's in my office, was to be sent to me. And they were mine. That rascal, if he's still living, I'd go get on him. And I don't know about that, because every time we got in a fight, he won. But anyway, this one has an A on the end of it, and this particular one I know because it's cracked. If you play baseball, you know that a cracked bat is illegal. But in the American Legion Midwest Tournament, we got down to this bat. Now, I wouldn't let anybody use it, but we got down to this little, and you know what? They won't let you go to the batter's box without a bat in your hand. You can hold it like this, you can hold it like this, you can hold it like that, but you've got to have a bat in your hand. And so I had done a taping job, and you couldn't hear it, but the crack's still there, you can see it. And so we got down to this bat, and here was the agreement. We were two runs ahead. Don't swing. Because if you break that bat, and we can't put a guy in the batter's box, we'll lose. So we managed to keep that two-run lead and win. And it has the big A on it, the American Legion. Did you grow up like I? Probably not. I grew up in a part of the country where baseball was king. I'm telling you, every little old town had a semi-pro team. Now, before you got near big enough to play on a semi-pro team, you got mama's broom handle. You got a sock. And you wrapped it with electrical tape, you know, and you got it somewhat round. And you went off to the cow pasture. Now, I'm talking literal now. You went off to the cow pasture and played baseball. Now, if a guy had the bat and the ball, he not only got to set the rules, he got to select the team. And all we culls were left to the side to play against them. I'll tell you one thing, that ought to improve your game if you're playing against the best of community. But, you know, we grew up. That's a tough thing about, you know, you do grow up. Now, there will be an application in a moment of this. We grew up, and we found out there was a rule book. That dude with the bat was saying the rules, usually as we played the game. And he always seemed to win. But we found out there was a rule book. And once you start playing the game by the rules, you know, it gets to be more interesting. It's a better game. It really is. And you enjoy it more. And then when we got to organized ball, we found out that there was a referee. No, what's his name? Umpire. There was an umpire. You know, and that dude, he had that rule book memorized. I thought I had, but he come out with some rules I didn't know anything about. So he must have had a better memory than me. But, you know, that also helped the game. Because you see, when you're growing up in that cow pasture, some of those old boys would rather argue and fuss and fight than to play baseball. By the way, have you noticed? I watch a lot of baseball on TV. I just like the game. And there's still guys that made it all the way to pro ball, and they still like to fuss and fight and pick on the umpire and get in his face and get charged about $10,000 for doing it. Now listen, see, I just proved one point. Not everybody that gets into organized ball is smart. Right? Okay. Now, and by the time you get there to where there's a coach, and listen, think about it. There's a coach and he's calling the shots. And all you got to do is what he tells you to do. That makes the game easy and it makes the game really interesting. You know, Paul said we all play by the rules. Well, you know, there's a real parallel between living the Christian life. You start out and you find out that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And then you finally, you know, you memorize the first verse of scripture that anybody memorizes. No, take it back. Jesus wept. That's the first one you memorize. But the next one is, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Listen to me. That whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So you're sort of looking at this thing called Christianity. And you know, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? I had the joy Friday, sitting down with a 19-year-old man down at the park when we were having the concert. And Ashley, while you were singing, I sat down to witness to this young man. And he really wasn't sure that Jesus would save him because he had done some stuff. Now, you've not done that. I can tell your halos are just shining. But he had done some stuff. When I told him that the Bible said the only camaraderie or commonality, I should say, the only commonality we had was that he went to a church that did refer to the Bible and read it now. And so you believe the Bible? Yes, I do. Did you know that the Bible says that when Jesus saves you, listen, he saves you from all your sin? Past, what is it, Hebrews? Is it 13:8? Yeah, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. That has something to do, listen to me, has something to do with that. Because listen, there's only one way to get saved. In John 14, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one, including you and myself, can come to the Father except by me. He forgives us all our sins, including those that are ahead of us. Have you ever thought about the advantage of being 83? Listen, you see, I'm not looking forward to a whole bunch of sin to have to repent of. Enough, granted, but not, you know, I've lived most of that stuff in the past. So, you know, you get kind of interested in the game, but you're not sure about the rules of becoming a child of God. You remember? Listen, I went for a long time, and I had a spot right about there that was as empty as it could be, and I couldn't find a thing that would fill it. Until I said, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Change me. Now, no joke, I don't think my tennis shoes touched the ground all the way home that night as I walked home from church. I was floating on cloud 8 at least. And I knew I had it made. I just felt good. Well, the next day at school, when the guy started teasing me about going forward and getting saved, something happened. My left hand just forgot it's being saved and smacked one of them. Uh-oh. And I found out something. I had some more to do. But the more I read the rule book, the more I understood what God had planned all along. Like he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I ask you as an act of intelligent worship that you just give yourself every day to God in such a way as that he will accept it and it will honor him. And then J.B. Phillips puts in there, this is exactly whatever Christian needs to do. Well, for goodness sakes, why? I mean, he gets pretty emphatic about it, Brother Ed. He says, you guys got to do this. You got to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, not so that your wife, can you believe he got her to poke a pie in the face? If she can do it, you can do it too. Listen, don't marry somebody from Missouri. They're the stubbornest people. Okay. But I still had. I hadn't come to that place to say, Lord, I tell you what I want my life to do. I want my life to obey you. I want my life to honor you. Whatever I do, I want it to give Jesus glory and credit and lift you up. But you see, the Bible says that's where we're going. As we get better acquainted, as we know the rule book, and by the way, folks, one of these days, you're going to stand there and the judge, the umpire. I've done pretty doggone good. You know, there were some guys in the Bible who said, whoa, wait a minute, Lord, don't you understand? Man, I taught Sunday school. Well, I was a deacon, I was a preacher, I was one of the better evangelists. They done the stuff. But Jesus said, but you see, the problem is, I don't know you. I want you to hear this. I'm going to mention four places in baseball that have similarities in life. First one is first base. Now, when you go to bat, and you pick up the bat, and you make sure that the trademark's where it belongs, but anyway, you got it right there where it belongs so that you can come around and turn it over. When you go up to bat, if you go up there, I'm going to hit a home run. Mm-hmm. That's the quickest way to strike out, I know. You go up there to what? Get on first base. Really? That's why you'll stand there and the old boy brings one inside and you'll turn your shoulder and let it bounce off. You prance off down there like that, didn't hurt one bit, and you're just about to die. But your goal is to get on first base. Now, I just want to brush by this. There's a problem with that. The pitcher on the other team is a demon straight out of hell, pretty good. Pretty good. I started to make a reference, but please don't misunderstand this. There was an old man. See, that stopped my reference right there. There was an old man named Satchel Paige on a Negro League team, barnstorming. And I got picked as one of the all-stars in Detroit out of the Industrial League to play against them. I never seen the likes. That guy, he had pitches I don't think he'd used in 10 years. Opposing pitcher is going to do everything he can do to keep you off of first base from accepting Christ. Sitting there this morning saying, yeah, I know, I really need to be saved. A preacher believe I'm going to one of these days, but not now. You know where that came from, don't you? Straight out of hell. Oh, well, preacher, I got to sow my wild oats. Why? All the wild oats I ever sowed were not worth eating. Come on, class. Amen? Oh, I can tell you didn't sow any. Okay. Oh, well, preacher, it just ain't right. Let me tell you something. You're never going to make it right. You're never going to make it right. But Jesus can. He can. In fact, folks, listen to me, and I should spend some time here, but I'm not going to spend some time here. Jesus wants to be your pinch hitter. You give him the bat. He has absolutely no problem. He's already won. The enemy's already conquered. He's standing on his head. Amen? You folks are... Did James put you to sleep giving that testimony? Oh, okay. First base. By the way, once you get there, nobody can take you off of it and send you back. Can't do it. You see, I just made a point. When Jesus saves you, he does a doggone good job. Okay? Now then, but there's another base. That's second base. And second base is represented in the life, as I want to present it anyway, as baptism and church membership. And that's your goal. Second base is the very next goal. Some guys have developed skills. I'm reading a book right now by Archie and Peyton Manning. Both, Archie was much more my hero than Peyton. Peyton was Peggy's hero. She thinks he's the only guy who can throw a football. If you're a football player, forgive her, please. I'm reading that, and Archie, or Peyton is talking about how that he wanted so desperately to get baptized. But Archie wouldn't let him because he didn't think, you know, Peyton hadn't gotten his right hand saved like I had not got my left hand. Now, forget that. That ought not to go in. Hey, anyway, Peyton still had some problems. He's one of those guys that like to argue with the umpire or the referee in his case. By the way, he was a good baseball player. But let's move on. Second base. Baptism, church membership. Now, and I cannot for the life of me figure out why someone wouldn't want to be baptized. Had a young man yesterday. Well, I've been baptized. I don't think I was saved. And he was just got wet, right? He just got dunked, that's all. The Bible says repent. That means you turn from your sin. You tell God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that again. Repent and then be baptized. Every one of you, I guess that takes you in too. In the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, let's move on. There's a whole lot that goes into church membership. Let me tell you something. When you don't want to be a part, are you listening? Are you listening? Hold up your hand if you're listening. You don't want to be a part of a church. Something's bad wrong because the church is the body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus meets with us. It's always, always really good to be in his presence, amen. You know what? I think I'll keep this bat up here. I'm not having a near problem I usually have. I got something to lean on. Now then, down the road there is Christian service. Third base. Peggy and I and our four sons were sitting in 1968 in Tiger Stadium. That was Black Post Stadium. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. A third of the crowd couldn't see anything going on because of the post in front of them. But we were there, and we'd always go out in left field and take in batting practice and take our ball gloves and catch some baseballs. And the New York Yankees were playing the Tigers. And by the way, if you know baseball, you know 1968 is when the Tigers won. And if I said 67, it was 68. The Tigers won the American League and played the St. Louis Cardinals. You remember that? You don't want to admit you're that old, do you? Okay, anyway, they did play them and won the World Series. We were at this game. Whitey Ford for the Yankees, who was an awful good pitcher. And it was a pretending dummy catching Yogi Berra. He's the guy that said, "Ain't over till the fat lady sings," and all the fat ladies got mad at him. Then he changed it, said, "Ain't over till it's over." He was really good on those cliches. He was catching. Al Kaline, noted to be the toughest out in baseball. Was it bad? Steve Boris, a kid that grew up in Flint, Michigan, right down the street from us, a little older than our boys, and so, but they went down there and they just idolized old Steve. By the way, listen, if you got grandkids and kids interested in ball, don't give up. Steve Boris couldn't make the Little League. He had to play in the Mott League. But he ended up second baseman for the Detroit Tigers. He's on third base as a runner. Now, let me insert something right quick, at least to leave it out. Listen, let me tell you something. We got it all messed up. Really, we do. Think about it. In baseball, and there's a whole lot of similarities here. In baseball, what is the ultimate goal? Home. Is that your goal? Are you ready to go home? A teenage girl in today's paper, driving, drove through barriers and killed three other teenagers in her car. No guarantees. Listen, if you happen to have the opportunity to come to my memorial service, don't you do any whining and bawling. You say, "Hallelujah." He went to where he had been living 65, 68 years to go to. That is if I die this year. Heaven is our goal. That's when you score, folks. Now, back to Steve. Old Steve is so caught up in Whitey Ford, boy, he could pitch. And Yogi Berra would throw dirt in your socks. He'd throw it up in your face if the umpire let him. He'd do anything he could to help distract you. You know, you could hear him sometimes from the stands holler, "Look out!" when the ball was coming right down the middle of the plate. And old Steve got caught up in that. And he stood flat-footed on third base. Third base represents serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all there is in you. You see, if you know anything about baseball, when you're on third base, you're looking like you're going home. You're charging that line, just trying to distract the pitcher a little, to give the hitter on your team an advantage. Boy, isn't it sweet? Really, come on now, think about it. Isn't it really sweet that, you know, serving the Lord Jesus, we could help someone else see the truth? And the Word of God says truth sets you free. And one day, they accept Christ. Wow. Now, you put this in your pipe and smoke it any way you want to smoke it. I want to tell you something. There's more joy. There's more excitement in my life when I help someone find their way to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior than there was when I myself found that way. All I had was a whole bunch of relief. But I finally got rid of all that. I was afraid to go to sleep at night. Afraid if I wouldn't make it. And Steve's standing flat-footed where he ought to have been just doing everything in his power to help Al Kaline out. And with the 55,000 jam-packed stadium, there came a boom. some, not knowing, looked around, what's going on? They were booing Steve Boris for not doing his part. Let me ask you, I'm cutting across the infield a little bit here. Let me ask you, are you doing your part? Are you doing everything you can do to have someone else come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? These people came all the way from Alabama. They came just perchance, like Paul said, that I might, by so doing, help win some. And this week you're going to water. And this week you're going to plant some seeds. And hallelujah, maybe this week you'll get to reach out there and reap a harvest. That's great. Don't you love to do that? Okay. Now, there's one place left. That's home base. Now, our congregation here, if they were here last fall, have heard this illustration, but this is true. In 1928, there was a team in the American League called the Nationals. And there was a team in the American League. Golly, I mentioned a while ago that we had the All-Star game and that home run contest, and that long-legged dude hit 9 in a row, one of them 547 feet. I can't hit a golf ball that far anymore. And that'd have been great if he'd have played for anybody but the Yankees. The Yankees were playing the Nationals. It was a 5-game series then. And they got right down to the 5th game. And the Nationals were two runs behind. And Goose Gosling. Now, you got to kind of be a baseball freak like me to know who Goose Gosling was. I don't even know what the dude's first name was. But he was a big, barrel-chested guy, about as fast as steam off a cold coffee, and he was up to bats. He, that year, was leading the American League in average and in home runs. And he worked the count to 2-2. There's a guy on first and a guy on third. He hammered that ball. It was gone, gone. Harry Carey would say, "Holy cow, it's out of here." But the wind blowing in from center field caught it. And old Goose was just kind of lumbering around first and around second. That old boy suddenly got excited and started playing the ball, and it hit the top of the wall. It bounced in, and as Goose went around second, he realized that there's going to be a play on it, and he took off just as hard as that big old body of his would run. And the center fielder ran it down, and he threw as hard as he could throw, and it went right to Yogi Berra. If you know anything about Yogi Berra catching, you do not. I don't care how big you are. I'm sorry, wrong catcher. Let me back up here. Anyway, he tried to run over the catcher and did. And the umpire threw out his hands as the dust settled. That meant that the Washington Nationals had just won the World Series. Hang with me. Nobody paid any attention to the umpire at first base coming down the line, picking up a mic. Pitcher got back on the mound, took his stand, flipped it over to first base, and he said, "Goose Gosling was out because he missed first base." The ball game went on, but Goose Gosling was out. By the way, let me ask you, are you positively, absolutely sure that you have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? That you've turned your life over to Him and you still stumble and you still stammer and you still falter, but you know He lives in your heart. And you're His. And He's yours. For you see, that is a requirement. If you can't be for sure, I was preaching not this sermon, but another sermon in Soltu, Alaska, and a pastor's wife got saved. I was preaching a sermon like this on this same text, this same kind of subject, and East Tawas, Oscoda, Michigan, at the air base there, and the pastor got saved. You see, as tough as it was, that young man stood up here last Sunday and said, I went forward because the other guys did. But I knew all along I wasn't saved. Then I gave my life to Jesus and he changed me. Hallelujah. That's kind of tough. But my advice to you is make sure, get it settled, work it out once and for all. Would you stand?